the fifth canto. So 13th chapter, the forest of material enjoyment. Jadabharata concludes the instructions to Rahugan Maharaj in this particular chapter. But Shukadeva Goswami, on being requested by Parishad Maharaj, he again explains the allegory of forest of material enjoyment in the 14th chapter. This is just like a Puranjan Upakhyan. Narada Muni spoke the allegorical story in this chapter also. Jadabharata speaks an allegory of forest of material enjoyment. Brahmana uvacha duratyaye dvanya jayani veshito rajastamas sattva vibhakta karma drik sayesha sarturta para paribrahman Bhavatavim yati na sharma vindati. Read translation.
Jadabharat, who had fully realized Brahman, continued, "My dear Rahugana, the living entity wanders on the path of the material world, which is very difficult for him to traverse, and he accepts repeated birth and death. Being captivated by the material world under the influence of the three modes of material nature, sattva, rajo and tamagun, the living entity can see only the three fruits of activities under the spell of material nature. These fruits are auspicious, inauspicious and mixed. He thus becomes attached to religion, economic development, sense gratification and the monoistic theory of liberation, merging with the supreme. He works very hard day and night, exactly like a merchant who enters a forest to acquire some articles to sell later for profit. However, he can't really achieve happiness within this material world."
This chapter is a very sobering chapter. There are many sections in the Srimad Bhagavatam in which the materialistic family life is actually criticized. Kapila Dev Sankhya Yoga section, the Puranjan Upakhyana, and in this particular chapter also. There are a few sections in which the householder ashram, grihastha ashram is glorified also. For example, what are the sections? Kashyapa Muni speaking to Diti, in which he glorified the grihastha ashram. And
Privat Maharaj place also there it is.
Even
Privat Maharaj section also.
Which section?
Privat Maharaj.
Privat Maharaj, okay.
Tamil is considered to be a fort.
Kardamuni Devagati. Also in the Puranjan Upakhyana, in few verses, that lady is actually glorifying the grihastha ashram to the Puranjan. 25th chapter. So this is these two chapters, 13th and 14th chapter, in which about the forest of material enjoyment is described. So here Jadabharata actually speaks with the help of an allegory. So in the last verse of the previous chapter, he mentioned about the forest, the path of the forest of material enjoyment. He mentioned about crossing over the material life in the last verse of the previous chapter. Tasman naro sanga susanga jata jnana sinehaiva vivrikna moha harim tadiha katana shrutabhyam labda smritir yat atipara madvanaha. So he mentioned about vivrikna moha. One has to actually cross this material existence with the sword of transcendental knowledge. He mentioned that Atipara Madvana, crossing the material life and going back to Godhead. So therefore, based on the clue from the last verse, Jadabharata Maharaj is continuing the discourse by talking about this forest of material enjoyment. So why is he speaking this? In order to put the Rahugan Maharaj on the horse of detachment so that the king will be able to cross it. So it is said, this particular path, that Duratyaye Advani Ajaya Niveshitu Rajastama Sattva Vibhakta Karmadra Sayesha Sartha. Sartha refers to a merchant who is interested in material acquisition. So Sartha is interested in Arthapara, he is interested in actually acquiring money. So the merchant who sees only obligation to scriptural actions, which are divided into Rajas, Tamas and Sattva. Rajas, Tamas, Sattva, Vibhakta, Karma, Drik. Who sees only obligation to scriptural action divided into Rajas, Tamas and Sattvas, who out of ignorance. Ajaya means, Ajaya is by the external energy or by ignorance. Who out of ignorance is fixed on the path of material enjoyment. Sayesha Sartho Arthapara, he is fixed on the path of material enjoyment while wandering about Paribrahman. He is actually wandering in this material world, and then he comes to the forest of material life, but he cannot enjoy happiness. Na Sharma Vindati. Sharma is the happiness. Na Sharma Vindati. He does not obtain happiness. Although he is actually Bhavatavim, means like he is going in the repetition of birth and death, but he cannot enjoy happiness. So Prabhupada writes very beautiful purports in this chapter. He says that a person is actually transmigrating from one body to another body. So every living entity is forced to accept a particular material body. Even if you protest against that, it will not help. Will be forced to accept a body based on one's karma. And because of the living entity's ignorance, one becomes attracted to material activities under the spell of Maya. So in the material world, one can never experience happiness, yet he works very hard to do so, and this is called Maya. So you know that material enjoyment, futility, insubstantiality and temporariness. Three characteristics of material enjoyment. First is it is futile. That means how much ever one may put great effort, one may not get happiness. It is futile. And even if he gets happiness, it will be insubstantial. And even if he gets substantial happiness, it will be temporary. So the futility, insubstantiality and the temporary nature of material happiness. So this is the actual truth. Yasyam imeshan naradeva dasyava sartam vilumpanti kunaya kambalat gomayavo yatra haranti sartikam pramattamavishya yatoranam vrika.
O King Rahugana, in this forest of material existence, there are six very powerful plunderers. When the conditioned soul enters the forest to acquire some material gain, the six plunderers misguide him. Thus the conditioned merchant does not know how to spend his money, and it is taken away by these plunderers. Like tigers, jackals and other ferocious animals in a forest that are ready to take away a lamb from the custody of its protector, the wife and children enter the heart of the merchant and plunder him in so many ways.
You see, the allegory is that a merchant entering the forest, whatever he experiences in the forest, that is compared to a conditioned soul experiencing different things in his in this material world, in trying to enjoy in the family life and trying to acquire money, whatever he experiences in this world, that is compared to a merchant entering into the forest. So the living entity is the merchant, and the forest is the forest of material enjoyment, or the forest of the, you can say, the grihamedi life, or the like that. So yasyam ime shan naradeva dasyava. No, naradeva, O king, yasyam ime, in this forest, yasya means in which, means like in the forest of material existence, yasyam ime shan naradeva, shan means six, dasyava is the plunderers. The six plunderers, sartam vilumpanti, they plunder the sartam, sartam refers to merchant, they plunder the merchant, kunayakam balat. Kunayakam balat, that means that who has been misguided by so-called gurus, or who has received bad advice. Kunayakam. Prabhupada says, who are always misguided by the so-called gurus as spiritual master. Balat means by force. The six plunderers plunder the merchant who has been misguided by bad advice of so-called gurus. Goma yavo yatra haranti sartikam. Goma yavo refers to the exactly like foxes. So, or vrikka is a tiger. So, in that forest, the jackals enter his house. Vishnu Chakotako says that Goma, it looks like fox, jackals. In that forest, the jackals enter his house by force. Yatra haranti. And plunder the sartam pramattam. So pramattam, usually it means mad, but it also means inattentive. Pramattam uchair iti kritya chintaya pravruddha lobam vishayeshu lalasam. They plunder the inattentive merchant, avishya yataranam vrika, just like the wolves steal the sheep. Yata uranam vrika. So uranam refers to the lambs. Vrika, Prabhupada translates as tigers. Vishnu Chakotipad says the wolves. So here we see, this usually happens in a forest where the merchant is going, and then the thieves actually plunder the merchant, and also they plunder the merchant just like the wolves actually steal the sheep. So here the plunderers are the senses. So dasyava refers to the six plunderers are compared to the six senses. Maybe the, of course there are 10 senses, but mainly six senses are mentioned. The plunderers are the senses. And they plunder wealth from the jiva because his intelligence is like a kunayakam, bad chariot driver. He is having a bad intelligence, being misguided by so-called gurus. So he is having the wealth. The wealth is meant for serving the Lord, but because of being misguided by so-called gurus, he uses the wealth for enjoyment. So-called gurus means basically various propaganda. Because of his bad intelligence, he uses the wealth for his own enjoyment. And the wife and sons are like the jackals. Who plunder the merchant who is inattentive to spiritual goals. So that means when a person is inattentive, then they actually plunder the spiritual, then they plunder. Yeah, the wife, it's not that they are to be blamed. It is that we being inattentive to spiritual goals. They are not to be blamed. And inattentive to spiritual goals, and possesses a treasure of food and clothing. Because the merchant is having lot of treasure of food and clothing, but the wife and sons, they always keep asking that oh, please give me, I want to go to this hotel, I want to eat this food, I want this particular dress. So they keep actually plundering this from the merchant. Avishya means they enter his heart, which is like a house. And then they actually, just like the wolves steal the sheep, they enter his heart and then they plunder these things. So here we find that Prabhupada explains that the actual aim of human life is that Nate vitu swartha gatim hi Vishnu. One's real self-interest lies in Vishnu. But no one knows his real self-interest. Instead of spending money for advancement in Krishna consciousness, one spends his hard-earned money on clubs, brothels, liquor, slaughterhouses and so forth. So therefore one becomes implicated in the process of transmigration and thus has to accept one body after another. So here we find that it is one of the favorite topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam is criticizing the family life. Like, it comes quite a different places. The third canto, Brahmaji is giving a description of Vaikuntha, but in between, right in the middle, he speaks few verses criticizing the family life. Chapter 30, Kapila Dev gives an extended analogy. He says the family members are like the vicious animals. Other places it explains, Swajanakya Dasyu. They are like the burglars in the name of the relatives. And just like clouds don't know how they are being carried by the wind, a man in family life doesn't realize the power of the time factor by which he is being carried. And many times Prabhupada does not soften it, he magnifies it. He says that unless one is a good politician, one cannot be a good family man. Unless a person is diplomatic, one cannot actually properly lead his family life. Griheshu, Kuta, Dharmeshu. So many places it's explained. The material world, the main sources of happiness come from relationships, and they are also the main sources of misery. So it is said, family life is like, it is too sweet to resist and too hot to eat. Or it is also compared to a rat trap. When there is a rat trap, it's a nice samosa is kept inside. So rat is seeing the samosa and is like hankering to enter in, how to eat the samosa. Then once he enters, it actually gets closed. Then he's hankering to come out of it. Like those who are outside, they want to get inside, and those who are inside, they want to come out. Right, so unfortunately, the situation. So, our Prabhupada gives another example of a Delhi ka laddu. He says that, like those who have not eaten the Delhi ka laddu, they're hankering to eat it, and those who have actually eaten it, they start feeling that, why did I eat it? So there's a famous Delhi ka laddu that I've not eaten, but it's like very heavy. Anybody has eaten? It'll be quite a heavy, this one. So people want to eat it, but once a person who has eaten it, he feels that, oh, why did I eat it? It's so heavy to digest. What is it exact saying? Pachtayaga means lament. Okay. So, yeah, one thing we have to understand, because these chapters sometimes are difficult to speak also, especially when there's a common audience, a grasped audience. But one thing we have to understand, the underlying mood of the scriptures also. So, if you see the difference between the Gita and the Bhagavatam, in the Gita, the underlying mood is that, remember me and fight the battle. Engage in performing the duties. While remembering Krishna, Ma Manusmara Yudhyacha. That's what Gita was spoken to a person who wanted to escape. So, but in the Bhagavatam, it is spoken to a person who has already who renounced the responsibilities at the right time, and therefore he needs to be taught only devotional service. So there is no, we don't find in the Bhagavatam emphasis about actually performing the duties, because you have to always speak according to the person who is there in front of you. What is his situation? Accordingly, you have to teach the Bhagavad Dharma. So therefore, that's why the Jiva Goswami says in Tattva Sandarbha that Shukadeva Goswami did not have to dilute his presentation of Bhagavad Dharma by combining Bhagavad Dharma with the other dharmas. Because the person Parikshit Maharaj is about to die, for a person who is about to die, why do you need to speak about the other duties of this world? You have to speak him. You have to speak in Bhagavad Dharma with a strong flavor of detachment, because he's about to die. So therefore, the underlying mood in the Srimad Bhagavatam is, we can see, Gita and Bhagavatam both teach the Bhagavad Dharma devotional service, but in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the underlying mood is actually detachment. So that underlying flavor, just like you make the same sabji. For some people, we may make the non-spicy, for some people, spicy sabji. Italian chole and Punjabi chole. So, depending on some people like, same chole is there, but then the flavor is different. So, Krishna is teaching the Bhagavad Dharma, devotional service, and Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami is also teaching the devotional service. But the flavor of detachment, because that is the flavor which is suited for Parikshit Maharaj. So that is something you have to keep in mind. But of course, there are beautiful classes given by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. Some of the points we'll discuss tomorrow also. So we find here, so when we read Bhagavatam in these sections, especially for a person who is most of you are in the Brahmachari ashram, but somebody in the outside, somebody's family life. Yeah, it's not meant for him. Yeah, Bhagavatam is meant for everyone. It's not that just because it is spoken to a person who is about to die, that does not mean only the old people are supposed to. No, Bhagavad Dharma is meant for all, right from the Kaumara age, Kaumare, Acharet Pragyo. Dharma and Bhagavatanika. It's meant for everyone. But when people who are having responsibilities, who are living the family life, when they read that, so they have to take the spirit of it. They have to take the spirit of the mood of detachment and then perform the responsibilities while remembering Krishna. So it cannot be skipped. So we can find, you see, every situation in the material world will have austerities. Every situation in the material world, it is actually so dangerous. We find that the people who are closest to you, they are described as the plunderers and the thieves. You just imagine what a dangerous situation. The people who are closest to you, they are described as the plunderers and the thieves. This can be really alarming to a person actually. But when the Bhagavatam is speaking of, in the Gita, when Krishna is talking about detachment, when Arjuna asks a question about sannyasa and tyaga in the 18th chapter, sannyasasya mahabhago tattvam ichyami veditum tyagasya rishikeshu prutakeshu nishudana. Can you please give me the describe between the sannyasa and tyaga? So Krishna describes that kamyanam karmanam nyasam sanyasam kavayo viduhu sarva karma falatyagam prahustyagam vichakshana. So sannyas is actually meant for the sannyasi, and tyaga is meant for the grihastha. So sannyasi means a civil dead man. So the essence of, in sannyasi, a person gives up the activity, and in tyaga, a person does not give up the activity, but gives up the fruits of the activity. also, when we read that in the beginning of the 18th chapter, the essence of Krishna's answer is the heart of renunciation. So what is the heart of renunciation? The heart of renunciation is the renunciation of the fruit of action and not the renunciation of action itself. That is the heart of renunciation. And furthermore, renunciation is an internal affair that has little to do with the external actions. And this is what Krishna stressed all along to Arjuna. Because Arjuna wanted to renounce the actions, but Krishna has been stressing all along that you renounce the fruits of the action, not the action itself. That is the heart of renunciation. Yetan apitu karmani sangam tyaktva phalani cha kartavyani te me partha nishchita matam uttamam. So all these activities should be performed without attachment or any expectation of the result, and they should be performed as a matter of duty, kartavyani te me partha, and that is my final opinion. So therefore, when Krishna uses the word, he uses the word sannyasa and tyaga interchangeably. From Krishna's point of view, sannyas, which is meant to be practiced by a sannyasi, and tyaga, which is meant to be practiced by a grihastha, he gives equal status to both of them. So therefore, in the sense, even when a person is living in a family life, but performs his duties, but in the spirit of detachment, offering the results to the fruits of the activities to Krishna, then he is also as good as sannyasi. In one class, Radhika Raman Prabhu, he was explaining that, see, in the material world, in such a situation, even the closest people are called as the thieves and plunderers. That is like a really, if we just try to contemplate it, it is a really alarming description. But then one may wonder, it's such a dangerous place, one can be really in paranoid actually. You will be always in anxiety if you are thinking that the people who are close to you, he is going to plunder, he is a thief. You are really in paranoid actually. But, he explained, but the mood of service can transform any worst situation into a good situation. If you imbibe the mood of service, by keeping Krishna at the center, then it can transform even the most dangerous situation. So instead of seeing that, oh, these people are the plunderers and thieves, we should see that, oh, Krishna has given me these people to serve. I am a caretaker on behalf of Krishna. So when we see in that light, I am actually, these people are given to me so that I can serve them on behalf of Krishna. I can take care of them. Then we can actually, that mood of service has the power to transform any kind of situation, even a situation where others are taking advantage of us. So that is what, at least when we are explaining, it's the people in general, suppose when there is an, such verses also come, so that time we will have to explain like this. Many times Radhanath Maharaj would say that, you see the child, so this is a child given by Krishna. So you would explain in that manner. So we have to see that at this one. Otherwise, if we just imagine, if you are all the time thinking that, oh, he's a burglar, he's a thief, then how will you be able to actually lead the family life actually? It will be really a chaos actually. So we have to, one may understand that, but it has to be kept within. There has to be internal detachment, but externally one has to be attached. Narada Muni clearly mentioned in the 7th canto, 14th chapter, a grahastha should be externally appear as if he is attached, but internally he should be detached. So this chapter is meant to actually develop that internal mood of detachment. ప్రభూత వీరు తృణగుల్మ గహ్వరే కఠోర దంశైర్మషకైరుపద్రుత క్వచిత్తు గంధర్వపురం ప్రపశ్యతి క్వచిత్ క్వచిత్ చాశురయోల్ముఖ ముఖగ్రహం
కంపోజ్డ్ ఆఫ్ థిక్ thickets of bushes, grass and creepers. In this bowers, the conditioned soul is always disturbed by cruelly biting mosquitoes. Sometimes he sees an imaginary place in the forest, and sometimes he is bewildered by seeing a fleeting fiend or ghost, which appears like a meteor in the sky.
So there are, whatever the merchant is experiencing in the forest, Shrudaya Goswami is explaining, Jadabharata is explaining, by comparing to a forest, material life. So, when a merchant enters over there, he is afflicted by the mosquitoes there. He is afflicted by the mosquitoes. Mashakai means mosquitoes. Afflicted by the mosquitoes, who with harsh biting in the dense bowers of Prabhuta Viru Trina Gulma Gakvare. The mosquitoes bite him in a harsh manner in the dense bowers of shrubs, grass and vines. So he is being bitten. At the same time, Prapashyati, he sees in the sky, what does he see? Gandharvapuram, a city in the sky. And also sometimes he sees, Kwachit Kwachit means sometimes he also sees Chashu Rayol Mukagraham. He sees actually ghosts. He sees ghosts moving quickly in the sky like firebrands. Ashu Rayol Mukha Graham, like a meteor or a graham is a feint. Feint means what? A magical feint, na? Vishnu Chakravarti, sometimes he sees ghosts moving in the sky like firebrands. So in the house, like a bower, abundant in material actions like dense shrubs, is disturbed by evil men who are like mosquitoes. So Prabhupada explains that every person is engaged in earning a livelihood for some profession or occupation. So when he is earning livelihood, one has to deal with many materialistic people. And the behavior of the materialistic people is compared to the biting by the mosquitoes. Biting by the mosquitoes. And the merchant is seeing in the sky some Gandharvapura. So sometimes, even in the midst of these disturbances, a person imagines to construct a grand house and live there permanently. Things that, oh, I will construct a grand house, I will take a loan, I will get a good house. So one is imagining like that and he is thinking that he will actually live permanently, although he knows that he cannot. And sometimes he sees ghosts who take the form of firebrands and move quickly in the sky. Ghosts actually take the form of the firebrands. So this is what the merchant sees. And what it represents the family life? This refers to a family man actually sees gold and regards that as valuable. So each of the particular event is compared to a particular thing in the family life. It is gold, and then he gets attracted to it. He thinks it is valuable. నివాస త్రోయ ద్రవిణాత్మ బుద్ధి తతస్తతో దావతి భో అటవ్యా క్వచిత్త వాత్యోతిత పాంశు ధూమ్రా దిశో న జానాతి రజస్వ లాక్షః.
Translation: My dear king, the merchant on the forest path of the material world, his intelligence victimized by home, wealth, relatives and so forth, runs from one place to another in search of success. Sometimes his eyes are covered by the dust of a whirlwind. That is to say, in his lust he is captivated by the beauty of his wife, especially during her menstrual period. Thus his eyes are blinded and he cannot see where to go or what he is doing.
So here merchant, the merchant thinking that the house, nivasa, house, toya, water and dravina, wealth, all these belong to him, thinking that house, water and wealth are his. Davati, tatastato davati, he runs here and there in the forest. And kvachit cha vatyotita pamsu dumra, when he is actually running here and there, his eyes become covered by the dirt raised by the whirlwind, or sand particles raised by the whirlwind. So his eyes become blinded by the dust, and then disho na janati rajasvalaksha, then he is not able to see the directions. So you see, Jadabharata is explaining in this chapter just the only that allegory is explained. But the merciful nature of the Acharyas and Prabhupada, they explain the meaning in the purport. Shukadeva Goswami will explain the meaning of the allegory in the next chapter. Because Parashat Maharaj will ask, can you please explain the meaning of the allegory? Because unintelligent people cannot understand easily. So what comes later in the next chapter, that is being given by the Acharyas in this chapter itself. So that is the, in a sense, the merciful nature of the Acharyas. They go ahead of the verses that purports. So he runs here and thus. Tatas tato davati means the merchant thinking that the house and wealth are his. He runs here and there. He becomes covered by the impulses of lust because of a woman. So his eyes getting covered by the sand from whirlwind. It is compared to the a family man getting covered, his vision getting covered by the impulses of lust. Impulses of lust. So when the eyes are covered, naturally one cannot see the directions. So here the directions, he does not see the direction, that means that he does not see that there are many devatas who are witness to his actions. And he does not see that how there are many devatas who are witness to his lusty actions. So Prabhupada writes in a own purport here. Says that for a materialistic man, making his wife the center of attraction works very hard day and night. His only enjoyment in material life is sexual intercourse. Therefore, karmis are attracted to women as friends or wives. Indeed, they cannot work without sex. It's like they lose all impetus to work only. They cannot work without sex. You know the famous pastime, Prabhupada. Prabhupada was doing a New York Rathayatra. He asked the sannyasi, what do you think about the women of New York? So that sannyasi was a little bewildered and asked a question to Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada said, beautiful, isn't it? Aren't they? Then he became even more bewildered. The Ratayatra is Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, is there what Prabhupada is speaking. Then Prabhupada said, they have to be beautiful, otherwise how could people build such big skyscrapers? So that's what Prabhupada is saying, that so they cannot work without sex. So under the circumstances, the wife is comparatively a whirlwind, especially during her menstrual period. So generally those who follow rules and regulations for enjoying sex, they enjoy sex after the menstrual period of the wife is over. So when a person is looking towards for this opportunity, then his eyes are overwhelmed by the beauty of his wife, and thus it is said that the whirlwind covers the eyes with the dust. And such a person does not see that all his activities are being observed by the different demigods. You will see in the sixth canto. And Vishnu Dutas, all the Yamadutas will say about who are the witnesses to the actions of a person. They will give, I think, some 10, 11, something like that, witnesses. The different directions, the different gods, sun, fire, air. So many witnesses. And a person does not know that he is being observed by different demigods, especially the sun god, and are being recorded for the karma of one's own body. That is why when you say Jyoti Shastra, Jyoti means effulgence. The science is called the Jyoti Shastra, the science of the luminaries, because the different luminaries are actually watching a person's action. So by the calculation of the Jyoti, our future is indicated. In other words, all the luminaries witness the activities of the conditioned soul. So then he is awarded a particular body. So he does not at all consider that he is being watched. Not knowing this, the conditioned soul commits all kinds of sinful activities for the satisfaction of his lusty desires. अदृश्य जिल्ली स्वनकर्ण शूल उलूक वाग्वीर व्यतितांतरात्मा अपुण्य वृक्षान् श्रयते क्षुदार्जितो मरीचितो यान्यभिधावति क्वचि.
Translation: wandering in the forest of the material world, the conditioned soul sometimes hears an invisible cricket making harsh sounds, and his ears become very much aggrieved. Sometimes his heart is pained by the sound of owls, which are like the harsh words of his enemies. Sometimes he takes shelter of a tree that has no fruits or flowers. He approaches such a tree due to his strong appetite, and thus he suffers. He would like to acquire water, but he is simply illusioned by a mirage, and he runs after it.
So here we find the merchant, sometimes in the forest, his mind is disturbed by the sounds of the owls and also by the piercing cries of invisible crickets. Adrishya Jilli. Adrishya Jilli means you are not able to see the crickets, small insects, but Swana Karna Shula, but you are really disturbed by their sounds. And Uluka Vagbir, owls you are able to see, and although you are able to see, you are not able to do something, but you are disturbed by the sounds of the owls. Uluka Vagbir Vyaditanta Ratma. And Shudartito, the merchant is also afflicted by the hunger. And being afflicted with the hunger, he takes shelter of Apunya Vrikshan Shayate. He takes shelter of some impious trees. And Marichi Toyan Abhidavati Kvachit. Abhidavati means again runs. Sometimes because of thirst, he actually Marichi Toyan. He runs after a mirage in the desert. So this is beautiful, this one. So the crickets are invisible. The sound of the crickets are invisible. So this refers to the backbiting of envious people in the inner circle. There will be some people who are close to us. They will not speak actually in front of you. They will do backbiting in your absence. So that is what is compared to the sound of the crickets. And he does not see them, but then is able to feel their actually backbiting. And then sometimes his mind is afflicted by the words of detested speakers whom he can see, who are like the wolves. And then when he is afflicted by hunger, he goes to impious trees. That means he goes to some impious people and asks for their help. So these impious people, even a shade or shelter of such person is a cause of sin. But he takes shelter of them to get help. And sometimes he begs from uncharitable persons who give nothing. So the uncharitable persons are compared to the mirage of water. So when a person is going in the desert, he wants a lot of water. But then he only gets a drop of water. Or he doesn't get, he sees a mirage and then hoping that he is going towards the mirage to get water. But that mirage is like the uncharitable people. People go to some, they beg charity from some people, but they are actually uncharitable. They don't give anything. So Prabhupada writes here that even within one's inner circle there is much backbiting. And this is compared to the sound vibration of a cricket in the forest. So when one takes to Krishna consciousness, one always bears unbearable words from the relatives. This is the nature of the world. Of course, Prabhupada is just talking about the any family life, but Prabhupada is also talking about the Krishna consciousness also. When a person takes to Krishna consciousness, one will have to hear some unbearable words from different people. What is the famous verse? What all a person has to experience from the person takes to Krishna consciousness. How a person has to experience the different harsh words from different groups of people.
Spoken by
Mukdammam nigadantu niti nipuna Brantam mugur vaidika Mandam bandava sanchaya jadadiyam Muktadara sodara Unmattam danino viveka chatura Kamam mahadambikam Moktum nakshamate managapimano Govinda padaspruha. So Madhavendra Puri, he says, Mukdam maam nigadantu. Let the sharp moralist accuse me of being illusioned. I don't mind. Experts, niti nipuna, brantam mukur vaidika, experts in Vedic activities may slander me as being misled. Brantam mukur vaidika. Niti nipuna is a sharp moralist. And mandam bandava sanchaya. The bandava means the friends and relatives. Friends and relatives may call me as frustrated. And jadadiya muktodara sodara. Sodara refers to brothers. My brothers may call me as a fool. Jadadiya. Unmattam danino. The wealthy mammonites may point me out as a madman. Oh, ye pagal ho gaya. Viveka chatura kamam mahadambikam. Learned philosophers may assert that I am too much proud. People may think that, oh, do you think you are so great? But still, moktum nakshamate managapi mano govinda padas prudham. Still my mind does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Govinda, though I be unable to do it. This verse can be taken in different ways of the word. You can, if you want to explain determination, you can also speak. Gauravain Maharaj gives an example. One of the devotees who went through all these experiences, because every devotee goes through different extent. One of the devotees who went through all these experiences to the greatest degree is Bali Maharaj. We will discuss in the 8th canto. was determined to give charity, was determined his devotion to Vamanadeva, despite being criticized and accused by so many people, by his own spiritual master, his wife and other asuras. So Prabhupada writes here that one cannot avoid mental distress due to the backbiting of envious people. Being very much agreed, sometimes one goes to a sinful person for help, but he has no means to help because he has no intelligence. So therefore, we find that it's like running after a mirage in the desert in an effort to find water. There's no tangible result. Kvachit vito ya sarito biyati. Parasparam chalashate nirandaha. Asadhya davam kvachit agni tapto. Nirvidyate kvachayakshai hrutasu.
Sometimes the conditioned soul jumps into a shallow river, or being short of food grains, he goes to beg food from people who are not at all charitable. Sometimes he suffers from the burning heat of household life, which is like a forest fire, and sometimes he becomes sad to have his wealth, which is as dear as life, plundered by kings in the name of heavy income taxes.
This whole chapter, if we see, one way to look at it is that devotee said that when we read Prabhupada's purports, or we can say we read Srimad Bhagavatam, it is like watching a suspense movie, along with a person who has already seen the movie. Sometimes people want to watch some suspense thrillers because they want some thrill in their life, something to keep excited. But when you are watching the movie along with a person who has already seen the movie and who is giving commentary, what is going to come in the next scene? Agla scene mein kya aane wala hai? Who is actually the murderer? He keeps telling the story, this one. So he keeps telling the story, and then you don't get any suspense only. You don't get that thrill. The thrill is lost. Similarly, that reading Prabhupada's purports, or especially we can say the reading this section, it is like watching a suspense movie with a person who has already seen the movie. Because people generally in this world, they want to actually lord it over matter. They have a great hope from sense gratification. They have they have great plans in entering family life and what all they will enjoy. And the great hope is there. But when somebody reads this chapter, all that hope and thrill is actually lost. The entire hope and thrill is lost. It's like it gives that mood of detachment. Otherwise, we have a vain hope, and then finally, instead of all those hopes getting thrashed by our experience, the Bhagavatam is actually teaching us the right mood of approaching the family life. Means we should not have false expectations or false hopes in this world. So, kvachit vitoya sarito biyati. Sometimes the merchant jumps in a sarito biyati, waterless rivers. Vitoya, toya means water, vitoya means waterless. And parasparam chalasate niranda. Sometimes nir antaha, without food, he desires food from the relatives. Parasparam chalasate. And sometimes asadhya davam kochid agni tapto. Encountering a davam, forest fire, he becomes burnt by the fire. Agni tapta. Nirvidyate kvachayakshai hritasu. And when his wealth is stolen by yakshas, he falls into despair. So here, yeah, Vishnu Chakradipad says that sometimes he becomes unhappy. So Prabhupada explains that sometimes when a person is scorched by the when one is hot due to the scorching sun, one in order to get relief, one jumps into a river. But the river has a very shallow water. So then what happens? Then his bones get broken. He doesn't get any benefit, and he only breaks his bones. He gets no water. This means that a materialistic person goes to atheistic people, being tormented by the misery, he goes to atheistic people, and these people, they give misery in this life and in the next world. And nirandaha means, or nirannaha, it means that without food he desires it from others. And he comes to a house which gives suffering like a forest fire, and he becomes despondent but burnt by the fire of lamentation. So Prabhupada says that when a man is heavily taxed by the government, he becomes very sad. The heavy taxation obliges one to hide his income, but despite this endeavor, the government agents are often so vigilant and strong that they take all the money anyway. And the conditioned soul becomes very aggrieved. That also Prabhupada explained in Kali Yuga, the 12th canto is explained that the citizens will be very much harassed by government taxation. In this way, the citizens will abandon their attempts to lead a peaceful life and will leave their homes and hearths and go to the forest in sheer disappointment. And then Vishnu Chakradipad says that he whose wealth, which is dear like a life, has been stolen by the kings who are like yakshas and rakshasas, becomes despondent, thinking, oh, how unfortunate I am without wealth. So here Prabhupada writes in the second paragraph that no one wants to be unhappy in the family life, but by the laws of nature, unhappiness and distress are forced upon everyone. Nobody actually lights up a fire in the forest, but by the law of nature, the forest fire comes anyway. Then he says, to become dependent on another's maintenance is very degrading. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, everyone should live independently. Only the Shudras are unable to live independently, and they are obliged to serve someone for maintenance. So, but in Kali Yuga, we see practically everyone is a Shudra. Kalau Shudra Sambhava. Everyone is dependent on another's mercy for the maintenance of the body. Therefore, everyone is classified as a Shudra. So when we talk about if we see in the Vedic culture, 3/4 of the population will be independent. Only 1/4 will be dependent. The Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, they would be independent. Only the Shudras will be dependent on others. And why actually independence is actually stressed? Because we want to live independently so that we can offer that independence to Krishna. We want to protect that independence so that we can offer the independence to Krishna. The people, when we sometimes ask for the invite people for satsang, they say that, oh, I don't have time. So what does it mean? That I have already become a slave of somebody. I have given my independence to somebody, so therefore I don't have time. So many people have the inclination, but then because they have already given the independence to somebody, they are not able to practice quality spiritual life. Therefore, when we talk about Shudra, Prabhupada talks about in two ways actually. One is in terms of occupation, another is in terms of psychology. So sometimes we find both the things have to be understood. Whether when we talk about the Varanas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, all the this one is in terms of occupation, another is in terms of the psychology. So guna and karma. Occupation is the guna, and occupation is the karma, and guna is the, we can say, psychology or quality. We can say. So here Prabhupada is talking about the Shudra in terms of the occupation. When we are actually dependent on another's maintenance, then one becomes a Shudra. When we are not dependent on another's maintenance, because Brahmana would never sell himself. He would be just independent. He would not actually take salary from the people. The moment when you take salary from the people, then by occupation one becomes a Shudra. But there is also psychological Shudra. Psychological Shudra, what does it mean? One who laments unnecessarily. That is what actually Krishna talks about in the second chapter Gita. Ashochyan anvashochasvam pragyavadam cha bhashase katasuna katasum cha tanu shochanti pandita. So from psychology point of view, one who laments unnecessarily. That's about the psychology. So sometimes we find, yeah, somebody may have an occupation of a Shudra, but he may have the Brahminical disposition. Sometimes a person may have the occupation of a Brahmana or Kshatriya, but he may have a Shudra disposition. Arjuna is a Kshatriya, but Krishna is questioning him. Why are you lamenting unnecessarily? Why are you lamenting like a Shudra? He's questioning his that kind of disposition. So therefore, so here Prabhupada is talking about that. But if we see in the Kali Yuga, the situation is worse. Many times the word Shudra is something in the current context you can't even use the word. Now that the whole atmosphere is actually it's against the caste system. I just saw now there is, because the caste system is propagated like anything, that that is where the reservation is there. So I was just seeing yesterday, the reservation is such that there was an examination. It was a common this one, but just information which came. This is in the railway department. They were choosing some people for a particular post, and they held a written test. And what happened, in the test actually nobody passed. None of the candidates appeared for the written test as secured qualifying marks. Then finally they declared, however, the following ST candidates who have secured 20% marks in the written test are considered under the scheme of best among failed candidates against the vacancy reserved for ST in terms of railway board's letter. So, in the sense, the point is that this kind of reservation is there. So, people feel that previously we were oppressed, therefore they are giving the chance. Yeah, there was an oppression. But then, no, it's like over-exaggerated beyond its proportion, actually. And then it has gone to the other extreme. Anyway, the point I am talking about Shudra is that it is difficult to take the word Shudra, but if we see the Shudras in the Vedic times, they were much better placed compared to the people now. First of all, in the Vedic times, 3/4 of the people would have independence, 1/4 of the people would be only dependent on others. Currently, only few people are independent. Big corporates are actually controlling the whole world. There are books written which show that how the world is controlled by number of some few bankers, a few corporates, they are controlling. And even the governments are controlled by them. So few people are independent, the majority of the people are dependent. So if we say the greatest gift nature has provided to humanity is Swatantra Ratna or independence. So freedom is an asset and treasure that even the devatas avoid infringing upon. So one of the most misunderstood concepts in the dharmic culture is in regards to the Shudras. One of the most misunderstood things. So apparently if you see, Shudras had no independence because they are taking salary from some people. But so many places in the scripture suggest that the Shudras are obliged to work for the other three Varnas, namely Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishya. So seemingly, it appears that there was an abuse towards the Shudras from the opinion makers and other Varnas. But actually this was not in reality. Because of course, the proper Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, they would not abuse the Shudras, they would actually take care of the Shudras. And Narada Muni came to meet Yudhishthira Maharaj. Narada Muni asked, one of the questions is that, are you paying salary to your workers in time? And Bharat Maharaj met Lord Ram in Chitrakoot to take back Lord Ram. That time, one of the questions Lord Ram asked Chitrakoot, Lord Ram asked Bharat Maharaj is that, are you ruling properly? Are you giving your salary right in time to your workers and laborers? But these are some important principles. So anyway, so if we see, Shudras represented many professions that were crucial for daily functionalities in society, like a barber or a cobbler or so many things. But the point is, in the Vedic times, even when Shudras would be performing different occupation, they were never hired as a full-time workers. Where they were forced to live away from their families. The Shudras in the Vedic time, they would serve different masters. Somebody is a barber, he would serve different masters, and he would not have to live away from his family. He would live close to his family. He would go back and forth from house. And then it is not that he is dependent on one particular master. He would serve many masters. Because he is serving many masters, he has a greater freedom. It is not that even if he rejects one master, but still other people he can serve, and then he can continue to earn money. But if he is in the modern situation, you are working for one company. You are working for one boss. And because then what happens, then that person takes full advantage of you. Takes full advantage of you. He makes sure that, he knows that this person is dependent on me. So therefore he makes him work like anything, 13 hours, 14 hours, 15 hours. And then sometimes people are told, you have to. And then go for some other project in different countries or different this thing. So he is practically separated from the family also. Even if he is living with the family, he does not get to spend time with the family. So therefore, in the current times, a person is actually, the Shudras in the current time are much more pathetic. They are separated from the family, and they have much less freedom compared to the Shudras in the Vedic times, who live with the family and who had greater freedom, because they would serve many masters. So contrarily, therefore, it is actually the modern society that has created an engulfing phenomenon of the ever-entangling rat race. So therefore, many people, even intellectuals, during the Vedic times, the Brahmanas, they would not sell themselves to others. Like rishis like Daumya and all. Of course, Dronacharya, he sold himself to Duryodhana. He was working for him. There are many rishis like Daumya, he did not actually after the Yudhishthira Maharaj lost everything, he did not work. He just remained independent. He did not sell himself to Duryodhana. The Brahmanas would not actually sell their intelligence just to make opinion according to somebody else's desire. But the current times, if we see, all the intellectuals, they are told to make opinion which is against their belief system. That's how most of the newspapers, and so many intellectuals are there, but they are told to make opinion. You have to write article only in this line. So that is the intellectuals are obliged to form opinions that are against the very core of the beliefs and experiences. And people are employed to shamelessly spread slanderous lies and one-sided stories while denying the truth. So therefore, the scriptures say that please protect your independence. Because independence is the greatest jewel, Swatantra Ratna. And that's what Prabhupada is writing here. To become dependent on another's maintenance is very degrading. The Shastras say that protect your independence even if it means having fewer resources. So you may work under somebody, you may get 1 lakh a month per 1 lakh a month salary. But what the Shastra says is that you get less salary, it's all right, but if you have greater independence, that is actually a greater asset than the having a huge salary but less independence. Because independence is the greatest resource and should be treasured at any cost. So that is why we find before the battle of Kurukshetra, Yudhishthira Maharaj, before the battle started, he actually came and he made an announcement. Anybody who wants to switch to the other side, they are open to do that. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is fighting for the cause of Dharma, but even when he is fighting for the cause of Dharma, he didn't want to force somebody, oh, you have to fight only for me. He didn't want to interfere with the independence of somebody. So therefore, he gave them the choice to follow their desires. So independence was so vital and valuable that even the so-called ordinary people never became full-time workers. That means even the Shudras in the Vedic time, they never became full-time workers. They would preserve their independence. We would not just sell ourselves to serving one master. Of course, if you get a very great master, like some great devotee as a master, we can sell our independence. But from a cultural point of view, they rather chose to work, even the Shudras in Vedic time, they chose to work individualistically using their talents to earn their livelihoods. It is like we can say, the Shudras of the Vedic times, we can say the current times are like the consultants. Sometimes people work consultancy firm. Some people, after working in the industry for say 20 years or something, and then they resign their job and then they start their consultancy firm. So that is like, of course, you can execute different projects at different levels. So that is like, we can say, the Shudras of the Vedic times. Still, you are working for somebody, you are dependent on somebody's maintenance, but at least a little more greater independence. But of course, higher than that is actually the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, who are completely independent.
From the previous purports mentioned, Vedic Varnasram system is a system of mutual cooperation, and Brahmanas are dependent on Kshatriya for protection, and Kshatriyas are dependent on Brahmana for guidelines. Similarly, all Varnas are interdependent on each other. Then how the three by fourth are independent, only Sudra are dependent?
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, interdependence, very true. Varnashram system is a system of interdependence. the interdependence, which is a natural interdependence. It's like there has to be, nobody is completely independent. The only independent personality is Krishna. Otherwise, everyone is dependent on others. But Varnashram is a natural interdependence. But what the modern culture is that over dependence on another's mercy. Over dependence, even in the case of a Brahmana also, yeah, he is dependent on a Kshatriya for protection, but that is a natural dependence. That's a natural dependence. Yeah, he would not sell his idea, oh, just because, oh, if you don't protect me, just to get protection, he would not sell his idea. But otherwise, that dependence, Kshatriya is protecting him, that's a natural dependence. So, yeah, Varnashram system is a system of interdependence, but the modern system is a, what we are criticizing is the over-dependence on another's mercy saps the very vitality. Prabhupada writes in first chapter, first canto, Prayana Alpayita Sabhya. Over-dependence on another's mercy saps the very vitality of human energy. So, in the modern culture, we find people are overly dependent on another's mercy. Yeah, what is your point?
It is like a assigned duty somebody does. So only according to that level we depend on them. And another thing is not going out of the constitutional whatever assigned their occupational duty. So if they go against that, claiming themselves still as so and so Varna, then it is like, you know, they're depending or they are going out of their boundary.
Interdependence, because if we see, when we say independent, it is a, like truly, if we, from a spiritual point of view, independence, living entity is never independent. Living entity is just Anu. He is always, only Krishna is the only Swarat, he is the independent. Living entity can never be independent. But the independence which we are talking about is the sense, like, don't be overly dependent on another's mercy. There is a certain dependence is there. Kshatriyas protect the others, this one. That is a natural thing. But you don't sell yourself, you don't sell, Brahmana should not sell his idea just because, so that others will protect me. Just to get salary from others. Or a Kshatriya, or anybody, Kshatriya or a Vaishya, father, anybody. One should not actually sell his occupation or dharma just for being dependent on another's mercy. You follow your dharma.
The occupation, even Parashuram also, came, of course, he is Lord himself, he can do anything. He changed his varna completely. So how do we understand such situation? I mean, or even
there is a principle of apadharma is there. See, apadharma, emergency duty. In emergency, sometimes one may have to do somebody else's occupation. So that the three aspects of dharma, swadharma, swarupa dharma and apadharma. Swadharma is our varnashram dharma, swarupa dharma is devotional service, apadharma is duties in the case of emergency. In every this one, whether brahmachari ashram or grahastha ashram, even suppose there is a need of the some particular project is there, so there is a certain need, so that time you may have to do that particular service, although it may not be your nature. That is your surrender. Suppose a particular, it's a temple construction or something which is needed, Priyavrat Maharaj, in our practical this one also, suppose some particular temple construction, some deadline is there, some, so you may have to get involved in certain aspect of management, although you may not be, by nature, you may not be a manager or something like that, you may not be. But there is a need of our, that time you may have to do those services. So that is how we express our surrender. Even though it is not my nature, but because it is a need, so I would actually perform that in emergency. But emergency cannot go for long, actually. When emergency becomes a routine, then one will become actually desperate. Emergency is for a certain particular period. So Prabhupada, during emergency in the initial days, he gave sannyas to many people, etc. And we have to appreciate that all the Prabhupada disciples who actually surrendered themselves according to the will of Prabhupada during the case of emergency. So it cannot be truly considered as fall down. So they are bound to be certain. Next verse. Shurai hrutasva kvachanir vinna cheta.
Shurai hrutasva kvachanir vinna cheta.
Shochan vimuhyan upayati kashmalam.
Shochan vimuhyan upayati kashmalam.
Kvachiccha gandharva puram pravishtaha. Pramodate nirvritavan muhurtam.
Sometimes being defeated or plundered by a superior, powerful agent, a living entity loses all his possessions. He then becomes very morose and lamenting their loss, he sometimes becomes unconscious. Sometimes he imagines a great palatial city in which he desires to live happily with his family members and riches. He thinks himself fully satisfied if this is possible. But such so-called happiness continues only for a moment.
So, Shurai hrutasva kvacha nirvina cheta, with his possessions stolen by the enemies, and sometimes with a depressed heart and lamentation, shochan vimuhyan, sometimes a depressed heart and lamentation, in great bewilderment, vimuhyan, he faints. And kvachicha gandharva puram, sometimes he enters the imaginary city. He is talking about a merchant. And pramodate nirvritavan muhurtam, he enjoys muhurtam for a moment as if fully satisfied. The merchant having his desires fulfilled in terms of son, wife, wealth and power, that is like entering an imaginary Gandharva city. Imaginary city is a castle in the air. Actually this castle does not exist anywhere. Only in one's imagination. So, there are only, the happiness is available only in two places in the material world. What are the two places? The first is in one's imagination. And second is in preaching Krishna consciousness. This is only two things. So he says that only in one's imagination this castle is there. So in the material world, similarly, conditioned soul sometimes contemplates great castles and skyscraper and he wastes his energy for such things, hoping to live in them very peacefully with his family forever. But the laws of nature do not allow this. That means like his desires to fulfill the sons, wife, wealth and power. So these desires are like an imaginary castle or a castle in the air. Again Prabhupada writes this, Kamala Dala Jala Jeevana Talamala. What is that bhajan? Bhajahure Mana Srinanda Nandana Abhay Charanaravindare Kamala Dala Jala Jeevana Talamala Bajahu Haripadaniti. So that he is explaining that. And also he quotes another Vidyapati's bhajan. Tatala Saikate Vari Bindu Sama Sutamita Ramani Samaja. The happiness of family life, friends and society is compared to a drop of water in the scorching heat. So even if one becomes happy for a while, a very powerful enemy may plunder everything. Sometimes big businessmen become paupers in the forest. Yet the nature and material existence is such that foolish people are attracted to these transactions and they forget the real business of self-realization. Chalan kvachit kanta kashar karongrir Nagaru rukshur vimanayi vasate Pade pade byantara vakni nardita కౌతుంబిక క్రుద్యతి వైజనాయ.
Wants to climb the hills and mountains, but due to insufficient footwear, his feet are pricked by small stone fragments and by thorns on the mountain. Being pricked by them, he becomes very aggrieved. Sometimes a person who is very attached to his family becomes overwhelmed with hunger, and due to his miserable condition, he becomes furious with his family members.
So here, here it says that his feet become pierced by the thorns and he wanders about. Chalan kochit kantaka sharkarangrit, and he wants to climb a hill, but he becomes disappointed step by step. Pade pade byantara vakni nardita, and pained by the fire of digestion, living with his family Kautumbika, he becomes krudyati, angry at his family members. So a merchant, he sees a mountain, he wants to climb a mountain. So wanting to climb a mountain means he is desiring fame by marrying his daughters and sons, arranging for the marriage of the daughters and sons. But then he becomes depressed to think, oh, how can I accomplish this? It's actually a big task to him. But the anxiety is involved, how can I accomplish this? And then his feet become cut by the thorns because he has no shoes. That means he becomes defeated by the obstacles because he has no assistance. So here is also again another profound purport that Srila Vishnachak, one may want to become very great and powerful in society, but this is like attempting to climb a hill full of thorns. Becoming happy in the association of one's family is like a hungry man's endeavoring to climb a mountain full of thorns. Almost 99.9% of the population is unhappy in family life, despite all the attempts being made to satisfy the family members. In the Western countries, due to the dissatisfaction of the family members, there is actually no family life. There are like live-in partners. There are many cases of divorce, and out of dissatisfaction, the children leave the protection of their parents. Especially in this age of Kali, family life is being reduced. Everyone is becoming self-centered because that is the law of nature. Even if one has sufficient money to maintain a family, the situation is such that no one is happy in family life. Consequently, according to Varnashram Institution, one has to retire from family life at the appropriate age, the middle age, at the age of 15, like that. So here we find that this is another, so the family life is being, especially in the Bhagavatam we find that in order to make a person lose attachment to the family life, so these verses are there. But if it is a current situation, it has gone really worse, because in order to develop proper detachment, usually a person who has gone through responsibility, he will develop the proper attitude of detachment. But without going through the response, when a person goes through the responsibility of family life, two things happen. One is a person becomes attached to their family life, so then he doesn't want to get out of it. So therefore, you need to speak about the reality of this world in order to make him detached. And then when he becomes detached, he will be, in the sense, he will be properly situated, because those who are generally gone through the responsibilities, they also become stably situated in the path of renunciation. And many times, when people don't go through the path of responsible life, and then when they become renounced, then when they take to the path of renunciation, they are not properly situated there. So if you see in the currently that many people, for people to stay together in a family life, that becomes a challenge. Nonsense, detachment becomes easy for them. It's not because that they are actually detached, it is because they are irresponsible. Whatever detachment people get in family life is more because of the irresponsible attitude, not because of their actually the spirit of detachment. So therefore many times we have to, in the current times, because previously people were very duty bound. So therefore, in order to make them detached, these are definitely required. But the current times, if we see, many times people are, it's a big challenge for them to stay together for 20, 25 years like that. So therefore, we have to teach them the principles of dharma, the responsibility, to give the inspiration to be responsible. That is the need of the hour most of the times right now. So there is a very good article, maybe I can send to somebody, which this article tells about the how the family system, the family culture in the Vedic culture and in India, how it actually helps in a pretty practical ways in the economically. So one person has made a nice actually research. So it is said in the Bhishma Pitamaha says in Mahabharata, the father equals 10 teachers, but the mother equals 10 fathers, or perhaps the whole world in importance. Taittiriya Upanishad says that, revere your mother and father as God. Dharmic scriptures, they say these things. And so all the ancient traditions of the world would revere the mothers. But what about the modern society? Does it accept reverence towards the fathers and mothers? So there was a person, Paul Woundruff, he wrote in his book called as Reverence, Renewing a Forgotten Virtue. This is the title of the book. So he mentions that how in the current society reverence is a very missing element. Reverence is a missing element in the modern societies. But many modern economic theories and thinkers, they attribute high economic growth to the irreverent modernity. So many modern economic theories and thinkers, they say that your country can grow economically only when you lose reverence towards the elders. Only when the community is not, if the community is having reverence towards the elders, the community cannot grow economically. So that is how the modern thinkers, they say that reverence is a... So they say that, like, following the traditions, it will actually slow our growth. And they counsel the slow-growing nations aspiring to develop fast to discard the traditions. If you want to grow economically, give up your tradition. So that is how the many modern economic thinkers, they say. So this view is a byproduct of the anthropological evolution of the Western. This is nothing but the Western idea. This view became the foundation of modern economics, which is based on individualism. So Vedic culture means what? Staying together. Family culture. And if you see your spiritual point of view, spiritual world is a, ultimately it is a family actually. It's a big family. So therefore, we want to, Radhanath Maharaj explained. So therefore in a community also we want to replicate a same spiritual family here. That's what a spiritual community. Family culture, where Krishna is in the center. So but the Western culture, it is based on individualism. So from joint family, because of Western influence, it came to nuclear family. Now the nucleus has broken, or the electron, proton, neutron have gone in a different direction. Yeah, they are like intercontinental family, international family, like that. So, so then he says that reverence for parents is the core value of the traditional family system. So before analyzing the impact of this core value or its absence on micro and macroeconomics, it is necessary to know how does the Western-centric modernity value reverence for parents. So if you see, reverence is twined with family and tradition, which depends on relations and duty. So family culture means there is definitely, you value the relationships and people are duty-centered. So I have this duty towards my parents, I have this duty towards my husband, wife, children. That's what the family culture. So in that there is a natural reverence because these people have done something to me, so I have to respect them, I have to repay, I have to perform my duty. But in the case of modernity, which is driven by the paradigm of individualism, individual rights, gender rights, because the whole modern culture, it is based on, not based on duty, it is focused on rights. What are your rights? Fight for your rights. Even they go to the extent of fighting for the lesbian rights and gay rights. It has come to that extent now. So there's a statistic which says that in the America, 55% of the marriage, first marriage, and 67% of the second marriage, and 74% of the third marriage end in divorce. And only 40% of the babies are born to unmarried women and half of them teenagers. And some of the 60% of the men and women are avoiding marriage. So, but on the other hand, it is said that the Asian culture, or we can say the Indian culture, the Asian culture is more family-centric. So it is said the family-based Asian culture accounts for the 3/4 of the global savings. 3/4 of the global savings is accounted by the family-centered Asian culture. Because whenever you have a family, you want to actually think about the welfare of your children. Therefore, you want to save money for them. I have to save money for the future. But when there is no family, then there is no concept of saving, they spend more than what they earn. So American families have virtually lost their propensity to save. The family's share was 4/5 of the total US savings in the 1960s. 1960s, when the degradation was not so much, when the family system was intact in America. So that time the 4/5 of the American savings were coming from the families. But by 2006, it became -1/5. It came to -1/5. That means, what does it imply? That means they were spending 20% more than their current income. Because there is no family, there is nothing, you don't have the obligation to actually save for somebody else. So the erosion in family values, which undermined family responsibilities and dented the propensity to serve, has made the Americans profligate. So therefore, statistic which say that how the American debt has risen by 160 times. US foreign debt has risen by 160 times. Its national debt has increased by 40 times. But its GDP has grown only by 16 times. So therefore, but in contrast, most Asian families save a lot. And because of high savings, they are able to provide the social security. Social security to their elderly parents. So if we see in the America, sometimes people say that, okay, America is such a country, there is such a great social security scheme. If you grow old, then you don't have to be dependent on your children for actually who will take care of me in my old age. The government will take care of you. There's such a social security. But in India, there's no such a social security scheme. The social security is privatized. It is actually delegated to the individual families. The individual family takes care of their parents. So therefore, one may think, oh, West is so advanced, the social security is so great security. But this article shows how the government is feeling a tremendous burden because of the social security. When they started the social security scheme by the government, that time some economists warned the government, this is going to be a great burden on the government in the future. But that time the government did not listen. But after some years, a lot of statistics is given. We read that it is a really hard-hitting statistic. But now the government is feeling a huge burden of trillions of dollars because of social security. They have to take care of all the elderly people. For that, they have to spend trillions of dollars every year. And they want to reverse it. But how will they be able to reverse overnight? Because social security, you can reverse it only when you actually, the family culture is there. When people have the family culture, then the they will take care of the elderly parents. And that when will you take care of the elderly parents? When there is a reverence towards them, when you have a respect, when you have a feeling of respect towards them. So therefore, in this way we see the difference between the individualistic Western culture and the family centric Vedic culture is that how it has a practical impact is that one is on the savings and second is on the social security. The government also feels a burden. There's a great amount of savings. So I'll just take a break now. I think I went. Yeah, that's the effect of the Western culture. So therefore this is telling to tell you guys progressing. This is an article written by a dharmic person about comparing the importance of the reverence. The reverence and the duty-centric, that is what keeps the family. The reverence is lost when the concept of duty is lost, only when people are fighting for the rights, when there is no reverence for the elders, then people become individualistic. The Western society is individualistic. The Vedic culture is actually family-centric, which is based on the reverence and the values of duty. So the essential point of the article is that people feel that high economic growth means you have to give up the tradition. You have to actually give up the reverence towards the parents. You have to give up the duties. But if we statistically, if we analyze, in those cultures where they have the family tradition, they have greater savings than the societies where the family is completely lost, where they actually debt has grown like hundreds of times more. That's what the Western society is. And second point is about the social security scheme, which people praise in the West. But actually the government is feeling a tremendous burden with the social security scheme. But they can't do away with it, because the social security scheme can be is actually privatized in the Vedic culture, because there is still the family culture is still there. So therefore these two aspects is analyzing, the savings and the social security scheme. So this is just another aspect of the why I mentioned, spoke from this article, is that the importance of the family culture. So when a person actually performs the responsibilities and then renounces, there can be renunciation can also be stable. Of course, people can have that spirit of renunciation before that. But when because of Western culture, that people actually they become irresponsible when they when there is so much of divorce, etc. Then they appear to be detached, but the detachment is not is coming not coming because of leading a responsible life. It is because of irresponsible attitude. So here Prabhupada says that when one's mind is disturbed in many ways, he satisfies himself by becoming angry with his poor wife and children. And the wife and children are naturally dependent on the father, but the father, being unable to maintain the family properly, becomes mentally distressed and therefore chastises his family members. So we find that in, and then last point Prabhupada beautifully says that instead of a forced separation, let there be a systematic separation. Vanaprastha is like a systematic separation, voluntarily. The forced separation cannot make anyone happy. But by mutual consent or by the Vedic arrangement, one must separate from his family affairs at a certain age and fully depend on Krishna. And this makes one's life successful. If one has to separate, why not separate willingly? So there are a few other quotes I just want to, just to keep a little balance. That there are other quotes. Prabhupada also talks about family life in the 9th chapter of the 13th chapter of the Gita, where Prabhupada explains, as per, and Krishna explains that asakti ranabhisvanga putra drara grihadishu, we should be detached from house, family, children. As for detachment from children, wife and home, it is not meant that one should have no feeling for them. They are natural objects of affection, but when they are not favorable for spiritual advancement, one should not be attached to them. And then Prabhupada says that one need only these four things in the family life: chant Hare Krishna, have discussion of the books Gita and the Bhagavatam, engage in deity worship, and offer eat Krishna prasadam. If a person does these four things, that will make one happy. And then he says, if one can mold his family life in this way to develop Krishna consciousness, then by following these four principles, there is no need to change from family life to renounced life. But if it is not congenial, not favorable for spiritual advancement, then family life should be abandoned. Just like Arjuna abandoned the family attachment for fighting in the battle. 13th chapter, 13 point, that 8 to 12. Asakti ranabhi swanga putra drara grihadishu, that purport. And then again, 4th canto, 26th chapter, Puranjan episode. It's explained that mother is compared to the devotion and the wife is compared to the dharma. Unless one is religiously guided by the intelligence and render devotional service unto the Supreme Lord, his home can never become pleasing to a saintly person. In other words, if a man has a good mother or a good wife, then there is no need of his taking sannyas. Unless it is absolutely necessary, as it was for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So just another aspect Prabhupada is giving. But anyway, the point of the detachment is there. And attachment to Krishna. Next verse. Kvachinnigirno jagarahina jano naveti kinchit vipinepa viddaha dashtasma shete kvachadanda shukair andaunda kupe patitastamishre.
The conditioned soul in the material forest is sometimes swallowed by a python or crushed. At such a time, he is left lying in the forest like a dead person, devoid of consciousness and knowledge. Sometimes other poisonous snakes bite him. Being blind to his consciousness, he falls down into a dark well of hellish life with no hope of being rescued.
So sometimes he is followed by a python, Kvachin Nigirno, and he loses consciousness. The python refers to a deep sleep. And Naveti Kinchid Vipinepa Vidha, sometimes not being woken up by the friends, he is bitten by a snake in the forest while he sleeps. Not being woken up by the friends means he is afflicted by evil persons like snakes. And then sometimes the merchant falls into a blind well covered by darkness. That means he falls into illusion. Sometimes he falls into a dark blind well. The sleeping condition called Kala Sarpa keeps the conditioned soul in a state of ignorance, and therefore the pure consciousness is lost. So Prabhupada quotes four quotations in the purport. Kata Nidra Yavo Maya Pishachi Rakole. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sang Yenechi Aushadi Maya Nashibera Lagi. And the third verse is from Kata Upanishad, Uttishta Jagrata Prapya Varan Nibodhata. And the fourth is Yanisha Sarvabhutana. The sleeping condition called Kala Sarpa keeps the conditioned soul in a state of ignorance. Therefore, pure consciousness is lost. Karhisma chitshudra rasan vichinvams tanmakshika virvyatito vimanah tatrati krichrat pratilabdamano balad vilumpantyata tam tatonye.
Sometimes, in order to have a little insignificant sex enjoyment, one searches after debauched women. In this attempt, one is insulted and chastised by the women's kinsmen. This is like going to take honey from a beehive and being attacked by the bees. Sometimes, after spending lots of money, one may acquire another woman for some extra sense enjoyment. Unfortunately, the object of sense enjoyment, the women, is taken away or kidnapped by another debauchee.
Karhisma chit Kshudra rasan. Sometimes he searches for a shudra rasan, little honey. That time, tan makshi kabir, he is bitten by the bees. And then he becomes a disgraced, vimana, disappointed. And then he finally obtains it with krichrat, with great difficulty. But balat vilumpant, but by force, others steal it from him. So the insignificant, sometimes a merchant, he is looking for a beehive and he wants to get a little honey. That insignificant honey with the merchant is actually trying to get is the another person's wife. Sometimes a person in the family life, he wants to enjoy another person's wife. But then he suffers, disgraced by the husband and brothers, like bees biting. And then sometimes, by putting great effort, he tries to enjoy a prostitute. He obtains a woman and enjoys her. Then what happens? Someone else steals her. There was one devotee was saying, narrating the story. He was a very rich man. He had a good wife and good children. Good chaste wife and good children, but then he became attracted to one Bollywood model or actress or something. Somehow this rich man, he really got infatuated, having crores of worth property, hundreds of crores. Then what he did, he divorced his wife and he gave her different property for the maintenance of the children. And then he married the Bollywood model. But after marrying, he came to know that this woman is having a very bad character. It's like she already has affair with other women, other men, etc. So he felt what a decision he made, like divorced his good wife and then married this. She's having a bad character. But then he wanted to like give up this relation. But if you have to divorce, then what will happen? You'll have to give half the property. So what he did? Then he started making plans for. He felt just for enjoying for 15 days. I want to give half my property. That means like 100 or 200 crores. He felt like, how can I give some hundreds of crores just for 15 days of enjoyment? Then he made plans to actually eliminate her, like to kill her. Meanwhile, this lady also came to know about the plans of her husband, to kill her. So therefore she also hired some gundas to kill her husband. It's like, if the husband is dead, what is become half the property, I will get the whole property. So then both the people are staying in the same house with the bodyguards. I don't know what is the current situation, but the people are staying in the same house with the bodyguards. So this is how sometimes a person puts great effort by spending lot of money to obtain another woman, but someone else comes and steals her. In human society, Prabhupada says, those who are not Krishna conscious remain in the forest of material life simply for the honey of sex life. Such debauchees are not at all satisfied with one wife. They want many women. So therefore, we teach our students to avoid illicit sex. By that, one can avoid so many difficulties. By avoiding illicit sex, one can avoid so many difficulties. Kvachicha Sita Tapavata Varsha Pratikriyam Kartumanisha Aste Kvachin Mito Vipanan Yacha Kinchit Vidvesham Rachatyuta Vitta Shatyat.
Sometimes the living entity is busy counteracting the natural disturbances of freezing cold, scorching heat, strong wind, excessive rainfall and so forth. When he is unable to do so, he becomes very unhappy. Sometimes he is cheated in business transactions one after another. In this way, by cheating, living entities create enmity among themselves.
So sometimes Shitapta Vatavarsha is unable to counteract the cold, heat, wind and rain. Pratikriya means he is not able to find a pratikriya, the counteraction. And sometimes Kvachin Mito Vipanan Yacha Kanchit, while transacting business with others, he gains their enmity because of cheating them for wealth. So Prabhupada talks about this is an example of the struggle for existence, the attempt to counteract the onslaught of material nature. So one person is envious of other, and that is the way of the material world. But the Krishna consciousness woman aims at creating an atmosphere of non-envy. But of course it is not possible for everyone to become Krishna conscious. But nevertheless, one can create an exemplary society wherein there is no envy. So Prabhupada has very ideal principles, but at the same time he knows the practical limitations of Kali Yuga. So in the 1.1.2, Prabhupada writes in the purport, in the material world, everyone is envious of everyone else. And therefore there is competition. But the transcendental devotees of the Lord are not only free from envy, but are well-wishers to everyone. And they strive to establish a competition-less society with God in the center. These are the three degrees of non-enviousness. The first is that being free from envy. The second higher degree is that not just being free from envy, being well-wishers of others. You think about the welfare of others. And the third degree of non-enviousness is that not just you simply think about the welfare of others, you strive to establish a competition-less society. The contemporary socialist conception of a competition-less society is artificial, because the socialist, there is competition for the post of a dictator. Kvachit kvachit kshina dhanaschattu tasmin shayya sanastana viharahina yachan parada pratilabda kama parakya drishtir labateva manam.
Material existence, sometimes a person is without wealth and due to this does not have a proper home, bed or sitting place, nor proper family enjoyment. He therefore goes to beg money from others, but when his desires are not fulfilled by begging, he wants to borrow or steal the property of others. Thus he is insulted in society.
So here it's explained that kshina dana, devoid of wealth, and Shayasana Sthana Viharahina, without Shaya, bed, chair, house or amusement. So sometimes he begs from others. Yachan, he begs from others. Yachan Parat. And then when people don't give him, then he actually borrows from others. And if they don't give money for as a loan or something, then he starts stealing. Parakya drishti labateva manam. Unsatisfied in his desires, desiring the wealth of others, he becomes a disgraced. So Prabhupada talks about he either begs or he borrows or steals the property of others. Thus he is insulted in society. Huh? Charvak also says, Rinam krutva vritam pibet yavat jivet sukam jivet basmi bhutase dehasi kuta punaragamu bhave. The Charvak philosophy is a philosophy which accepts only pratyaksha pramana. Yoga Swami says that. Charvak is saying that, oh, beg, borrow or steal, always eat food cooked in pure ghee. Who has seen life after death? There's nothing called as life after death. Means like he only believes what he sees with his eyes. So Charvak philosophy is an example of a philosophy which accepts only pratyaksha pramana. So one person gives a counter argument to Charvak philosophy. Charvaka tava charvangi jarato viksha garbinim pratyaksha matra vishwaso ganashwasam kimujyasi. Oh, my dear follower of Charvak, since you have faith only in the direct evidence of your senses, why are you sighing so deeply? Why are you so much in anxiety to see your lovely wife now made pregnant by some other man? That's like, in the sense, the Charvak philosophy, they accept only the pratyaksha pramana. They said, who has seen life after death? Yes, beg, borrow or steal. So he's saying, this follower of Charvak, his wife is pregnant. But he has not seen personally wife uniting with some other man. But just by seeing wife pregnant, this person is very anxious. So this another person is preaching to the Charvak, the follower of Charvak. Why are you so much anxious? You have not seen your wife being made pregnant by some other man. You believe only in your pratyaksha praman. You have not seen it. So why are you so much in anxiety to see your wife pregnant? It's like, it's a, in a sarcastic way of actually dealing with the fire. So another place Prabhupada says that even the greatest atheist of India recommends that one eat ghee, not meat. No one could conceive of human beings eating meat like tigers and dogs, but men have become so degraded that they are just like animals and can no longer claim to have a human civilization. Next verse. Anyonya vitta vyatishanga anyonya vitta vyatishanga vridha vairanu bandho vivahan mitascha advanyamushmin urukrachra vitta badopa sargair viharan vipannaha.
Due to monetary transactions, relationships between become very strained and end in enmity. Sometimes the husband and wife walk on the path of material progress, and to maintain the relationship they work very hard. Sometimes due to scarcity of money or due to disease conditions, they are embarrassed and almost die.
So living with the increased enmity because of business transactions for wealth, he marries. Living with increased enmity because of business transaction of wealth, he marries. That means, this applies even current times. People have contract marriages. So before the marriage itself, they make a contract. If we end in divorce after 5 years, this much amount. 10 years this much amount, after 2 years means this much amount. It becomes a business contract kind of thing. So walking on the path of wandering on the path, he almost dies because of the great difficulties, loss of wealth and the sickness that he encounters. So Prabhupada also writes in the purport how the monetary transactions in the marriage relationship are sometimes overpowered by the dangerous conditions of material life. So many countries have developed economically, but due to business exchanges, relationships seem to be strained. So whenever some money comes in the middle between relationships, it has a great potential to disturb the relationships. So even among the devotees, we have to be careful sometimes. Many times because of the money, the business relationships can turn better. Oh, this person borrowed money, he didn't return it. So Mahabharata says in regards to friendship, in friendship, he is mentioned that you should never go and ask from your friend for money. If you want to value the friendship, don't go and ask from your friend for money. Don't ask for charity. And then, from the point of view of the giver of charity, if you want to maintain the friendship, when you give money to your friend, do not expect from your friend to return. From the point of view of the giver of charity, you just give the money, don't expect that your friend should return. So therefore, whenever there's money transaction, these are the certain principles which have to be maintained. Otherwise, relationships will become strained. Tamstan vipannan sahi tatra tatra vihaya jatam parigrihya sartha avartate dyapi nakaschidatra viradvana paramupaiti yogam.
My dear king, on the forest path of material life, first a person is bereft of his father and mother, and after their death, he becomes attached to his newly born children. In this way, he wanders on the path of material progress and is eventually embarrassed. Nonetheless, no one knows how to get out of this, even up to the moment of death.
So you see, giving up all those who have died, and then he accepts those who are born. The parents have died, and he gets children. And then in this way he wanders about in the forest. Even then, the merchant does not take to the method of crossing the material life. He sees his parents have died, and then his children are there, but then he never thinks about, I should think about actually getting out of the material existence. He sees death coming everywhere. He wanders about, but until today does not go toward the Supreme Lord. No one among the merchants attains the method of crossing the forest. The method of crossing the forest means they either take to bhakti, nor do they take to some jnana marga. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, after the death of the father and mother, the children get married and beget their own children. Thus, generation after generation, these things go on in the same way, without anyone's attaining liberation from the embarrassment of material life. So if we see in the Indian society, or in general, in any materialistic society, so they have the general philosophy of life means go to college, get degree, get a job, get married, and get children, and raise them. And get them married. Well, what is the goal of life? This is the if we just little bit think about it. Like, okay, what's the ultimate purpose? It seems a very empty thing actually. So generation after generation, it just goes on, but without anyone getting liberated. So actually, the human life is meant for jnana and vairagya. So Prabhupada quotes Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha. Sharva Shastriga. Ultimately, unfortunately, people in this world avoid the association of liberated people and continue in their stereotyped way of family life. So, in the fourth canto, Puranjana Apakyan, it is explained, those who are in the Pravritti Marga, they are busy holding different functions to celebrate the distresses of birth, old age, disease and death. Birth, old age, disease and death are actually distresses, but the materialistic people are absorbed in the Pravritti Marga. They hold various religious functions at the time of birth, old age, disease and death. Without caring for the distresses, they are addicted to performing the special functions according to the ritualistic ceremonies. Without thinking about the purpose of life, yeah, different samskaras they have to be performed, but they just celebrate the Shashtiabdha Purti, Bhimaratha Santi, Sadabhishega, 60th marriage, 70th marriage, 80th marriage. Like that, they're just busy performing the religious functions. Manasvino nirjita digga jendra, mameti sarve buvibaddha vaira. Mrudeshayirannatu tadvrajanti, yanyastadando gata vairobiyati.
There were and are many political and social heroes who have conquered enemies of equal power. Yet due to their ignorance in believing that the land is theirs, they fight one another and lay down their lives in battle. They are not able to take up the spiritual path accepted by those in the renounced order. Although they are big heroes and political leaders, they cannot take to the path of spiritual realization.
So it's explained about many various Diggajendra who have conquered even the Gajendra, elephants of the directions, but Mameti, they think in terms of me and mine. And they are surrounded by their, being surrounded by their enemies, all fall dead on the battlefield. But they do not attain the abode attained by those who have renounced all material attachments and have no enemies. The many warriors, they have conquered big directions, but they are absorbed in the false ego of me and mine. They don't attain the... they may fall dead in the battlefield, but they don't attain the abode attained by those who have renounced all material attachments and have no enemies. Yanyasta dando gata vairobiyati. So Prabhupada says that... Vishnu Chakratipada writes... Prabhupada writes in the purport... Great warriors conquer even the elephants of the directions which are situated far away. But they cannot conquer the 11 senses which are close enemies. This is their courage. It is not actually spiritual courage. It's a material courage. They conquer far away enemies, but they cannot conquer the nearby senses. So you know that story of that Alexander, this thing, and sage, I am the, one sage came to meet and then he said, who has come? He said, I am the, you tell him that his master of his smart, master has come. Like that, no? He's like, anger is the, Alexander was the slave of anger, and because I have conquered anger, so I have come, like that. Showed them. So spiritual courage is then described. Real courage is having no enmity and giving up all material attachments. There is also a similar verse in the Muchukunda's prayer, 10th canto, 51st chapter. Having conquered the entire circle of directions and being thus free of conflict, a man sits on a splendid throne, receiving praise from leaders who are once his equals. But when he enters the women's chambers where sex pleasure is found, he is led about like an animal, like a pet animal. Tenth canto, 51st chapter, 51st or 52nd. Nirjitya dik chakram abhuta vigraho. Verse number. Next verse. Prasajyati kvapi lata bhujashrayas tadashraya vyakta padadvijaspruha क्वचित् कदाचित् दरि चक्र तस्त्र सन् सक्यं विदत्ते बक कंक गृद्रै.
Sometimes the living entity in the forest of material existence takes shelter of creepers and desires to hear the chirping of the birds in those creepers. Being afraid of roaring lions in the forest, he makes friends with cranes, herons and vultures.
So sometimes the living entity in the merchant in the forest takes shelter of the creepers. The creepers refer to the a materialistic person wants to be embraced by the creeper like arms of his wife. And also a merchant desires to hear the chirping birds in those creepers. Or a person is attracted by the sweet voice of the wife. So at that time, when he is actually attracted to the creepers and the birds, and he becomes afraid of the group of lions in the forest. Being afraid of the group of lions is the first, the materialistic man becoming afraid of the death. So lions are compared to death. So merchant being afraid of the lions in the forest, he makes friends with the cranes, herons and vultures. So similarly, materialistic man being afraid of the lion of death, he makes a friendship with the, or takes shelter of the so-called swamis and yogis. Or some bogus swamis and yogis. So Prabhupada writes here, the Hari means lion and also Lord Hari. In order to be saved from the hands of Hari, that is the lion of death, one must take shelter of the supreme Hari, the personality of Godhead. So essentially, the materialistic man takes shelter of the creeper like arms of the wife, and later being afraid of death, he takes shelter of the so-called sadhus who are like cranes. But he is cheated both ways by not taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. Tairvanchitoham sakulam samavishan arochayan shilamupaiti vanaran tajjati rasena sunirvritendriya parasparodvikshana vimsritadvadi.
Being cheated by them, the living entity in the forest of the material world tries to give up the association of these so-called yogis, swamis and incarnations and come to the association of real devotees. But due to misfortune, he cannot follow the instruction of the spiritual master or advanced devotees. Therefore, he gives up their company and again returns to the association of monkeys who are simply interested in sense gratification and women. He derives satisfaction by associating with sense gratifiers and enjoying sex and intoxication. In this way, he spoils his life simply by indulging in sex and intoxication. Looking into the faces of other sense gratifiers, he becomes forgetful and thus approaches death.
You see, first he takes shelter of the creeper-like arms of the wife, and then being afraid of the death, lion-like death, he takes shelter of the cranes, vultures and, it is explained in the previous verse, who are the so-called gurus. And again, being cheated by the cranes and vultures, by the so-called gurus, he contacts a Hamsa Kulam, group of swans. He contacts a group of swans, that means that he goes to a group of the brahmanas. But he is not satisfied with their rules for atonement and taking the sacred thread again. He is not satisfied with the instructions of the brahmanas or the sadhus. He is not satisfied with their behavior. And then arochayam shilam upaiti vanaran, he approaches some monkeys. That means he takes shelter of the monkeys, means he takes shelter of some so-called sadhus. So-called sadhus means these monkeys appear to be renounced, but they are actually attached to sense gratification. They outwardly they appear to be renounced, they resemble sadhus, but actually their desire is to keep female monkeys and enjoy sex life. So he takes shelter of these so-called monkeys or the sadhus, and then his senses become joyful because of the pleasure arising from them. His senses become joyful because of pleasure arising from them. He gazes at their faces and forgets about death. So monkeys, it's explained that he again returns to the association of the monkeys, means monkeys were interested in sense gratification in women. And in their association, by associating the sense gratifiers, he becomes joyful. But actually, by looking into their faces, he becomes forgetful and thus approaches the death. So when we look into the faces of sense gratifiers, because they create hope in sense gratification. Although you are frustrated, they actually create hope that you have to do in a different manner. And then one person actually forgets. Next verse. Drumeshu ramsyan sutadara vatsalo vyavayadino vivashasva bandane kvachit pramadad girikandare patan vallim grihitva gajabita astita.
The living entity becomes exactly like a monkey jumping from one branch to another. He remains in the tree of household life without any profit but sex. Thus he is kicked by his wife just like the he has. Unable to gain release, he remains helplessly in that position. Sometimes he falls victim to an incurable disease, which is like falling into a mountain cave. He becomes afraid of death, which is like the elephant in the back of that cave. And he remains stranded, grasping at the twigs and branches of a creeper.
So, you can see all this. So the merchant enjoying in the trees, affectionate the sons and wife, miserable because of sex life, bound up there and helpless. Out of inattention, sometimes he falls into a mountain cave. That is considered to be incurable disease. And then on the other side of mountain cave, there is a big elephant. And that is compared to a death. So being afraid of the death, he holds on to a creeper and he remains dangling there. So Prabhupada writes that a householder life is full of misery. The only attraction is sex with the wife who kicks him during the sexual intercourse. Just as the she-ass does not does her mate. Next verse. Atak katanchit savimukha ap. Apada punascha sartam pravishatya rindama advanyamushmin ajayani veshito brahman janodhyapina veda kaschana.
O killer of enemies, Maharaj Rahugana, if the conditioned soul somehow or other gets out of his dangerous position, he again returns to his home to enjoy sex life. For that is the way of attachment. Thus, under the spell of Lord's material energy, he continues to loiter in the forest of material existence. He does not discover his real interest even at the point of death.
So you see, sometimes even if he becomes free from the danger, but he again begins to enjoy. Again comes to Pravritti Marga. Even if he gets out of it, again continues to enjoy. So therefore, absorbed in this path by ignorance, a person wanders about and does not understand anything. A person cannot understand the real aim of life. Nate vitu swartha gatim hi vishnum. Om tad vishnu paramampadam sadapashyanti surayaha. Now we come to the concluding instruction. Rahu gunatvam apihyadvanosya sanyasta dandakrita bhuta maitraha asajjitatma hariseva yashitam jnanasimadayatarati param.
My dear King Rahuguna, you are also a victim of the external energy, being situated on the path of attraction to material pleasure. Being situated on the path of attraction to material pleasure, so that you may become an equal friend to all living entities, I now advise you to give up your kingly position and the rod by which you punish criminals. Give up attraction to sense objects and take up the sword of knowledge sharpened by devotional service. Then you will be able to cut the hard knot of illusory energy and cross to the other side of the ocean of nescience.
So he's saying that, O King Rahuguna, you are also absorbed in material existence. So therefore now, krita bhuta maitraha, you make friendship with all beings, sanyasta dandaha, renounce the danda, renounce the punishment that the king gives to others. Renounce our kingly position, punishment that the king gives to others. And asat jitatma harisevaya shitam jnanasi madaya. Take the sword of knowledge, jnanasi, and with mind detached from material enjoyment, asat jitatma. Asat jitatma means, yeah, mind is not attracted to material pleasure. Detached from material enjoyment, tarati param, cross over the material existence. So here, Prabhupada quotes that how the material world is compared to a tree, and one must cut this tree by the sword of knowledge. So there are different, the three comparisons for the sword comes. One is that in the Bhagavad Gita, the third chapter comes a sword, detachment is compared to a sword. Third or fourth chapter, that last verse, that Jagishatrum Mahabhav. Transcendental knowledge is compared to a sword. The 15th chapter, detachment is compared to a sword. Asanga Shastrena Dridena Chitva. And then sword is also, there is another comparison of the sword to, yeah, remembrance of the Lord. Yad Anudhyasina Yukta Karma Granti Nibandhanam Chindanti Kovidastasya Kona Kuriyat Kutarati. So here these two verses are quoted. So now Rahugan Maharaj is replying. Ahon rujanma kila janma shobanam kim janma bistvaparairapyamushmin nayadrishi kesha yashakratatmanam mahatmanam vaprachurasamagama.
King Rahuguna said, this birth as a human being is the best of all. Even birth among demigods in the heavenly planets is not as glorious as the birth as a human being in this earth. On this earth, what is the use of the exalted position of a demigod? In the heavenly planets, due to profuse material comforts, there is no possibility of associating with devotees.
So he is actually appreciating the human birth. Human birth is the most splendid. What use is any other birth in which there is no intimate association with the great devotees? Whose whole being is composed of glorification of the Lord. So the devotees, mahatmanam ya prachuras samagamaha. The life of devotees is, whole being is composed of prachuras samagama, glorification of the Lord. So Rahugan Maharaj is actually thinking, how did I become so fortunate? With great astonishment, because he is feeling, how did I get such an association of such a great devotee? With astonishment he is wondering. First he is feeling, oh, among all the births, the best birth of the human being, there is nothing better than the human birth in next life. There is nothing better in next life in Swarga. And what is the use of these births as the devatas? Because when you are in devatas, this one, there is no association with the great devotees. And what is the nature of these devotees? The soul, effort, intelligence, mind and bodies of the great devotees are made only of glorification of the Lord, who engages their senses. So that is the nature of the devotees. In the heavenly planets, there is no association of the devotees. Therefore, the best birth is the human birth. Money and women are the basic principles of material enjoyment. Therefore, Prabhupada advised that those who are actually serious about returning home, to give up money and women in order to be fit to enter into the kingdom of God. And then Prabhupada says that only in satsanga one can relish Krishna katha. Satam prasanga mama virya samvidu. It's like only in the association of a drunkard, so one can relish actually some intoxication. So only in the association of the devotees, you can actually relish hearing and chanting. Next verse. Some of these verses are very important verses. I'll just take few more verses in the end. Nakhyadbutam tvacharanabjarenubir ಹತಾಂ ಹಸು ಭಕ್ತಿರದೋಕ್ಷ ಜೇಮಲ ಮೌಹೂರ್ತಿಕಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಸಮಾಗಮಾಚ್ಯ ಮೇ ದುಸ್ತರ್ಕ ಮೂಲೋಪಹತೋ ವಿವೇಕಃ.
It is not at all wonderful that simply by being covered by the dust of a lotus feet, one immediately attains the platform of pure devotional service to the Adokshaja, which is not available even to great demigods like Brahma. By associating with you just for a moment, I am now freed from all argument, false prestige and lack of discrimination, which are the roots of entanglement in the material world. Now I am free from all these problems.
So here he is saying that Nahi Adbhutam, it is not astonishing that all my sins have been destroyed by the dust of your lotus feet. Tvat charanabja renubir hata amhaso. Not only that, bhaktir adokshaje, the pure bhakti to the Supreme Lord has arisen. And then he says mauhurtika, simply by a moment's association with you, three things are happening. Dushtarka moolo apahato vivekaha. I am become freed from all argument, false prestige and lack of discrimination. These are the three effects of sadhu sangha. My lack of discrimination, the root of my false arguments has been destroyed. So generally, we have a tendency for being argumentative. Yeah, one can make inquiry, but being challenging or argumentative, that is not the right attitude. And false prestige and lack of discrimination, these three, I am become freed from these three. So the arguments offered by pure devotees to the disciples are so convincing that even a dull-headed disciple is immediately enlivened with spiritual knowledge. So Vishnu Chakra Thakur writes that the Jadabharata is saying you mentioned intimate association. Does that mean that a little association is useless? No, I spoke like that out of great enthusiasm. Just by obtaining the dust from your lotus feet, I have attained pure bhakti, which is rare even for Brahma or Indra. But this is not astonishing. What is astonishing is that if just by moment's association, my mind, corrupted by a little knowledge and filled with bad logic, becomes favorable to bhakti, how can one describe the greatness of prolonged association with the devotees? So in this way he is using Kaimuttikam, Nyaya is glorifying. Next verse. Namo mahadbyostu namastishubhyo namo yuvabhyo nama avatubhyah ye brahmanagama vaduta lingas charanti tebhya shivamastu ragyam.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto the great personalities, whether they walk on the earth's surface as children, young boys, avadutas, or great brahmanas. Even if they are hidden under the different guises, I offer my respects to all of them. By their mercy, may there be good fortune in the royal dynasties that are always offending them.
So he is actually really repentant, Rahugan Maharaj, because he had actually offended Jadabharat, who had employed him to carry the palanquin. So he is offering prayers. He is saying that I offer to all the self-realized souls, whether they are small babies or youths or young boys. Because sometimes the four Kumaras appear like small babies, small young boys. I offer respects even to the small Brahmana boys. Since such children are inclined to play, their greatness is not evident. However, even such persons he offers respects. So by requesting good fortune for kings, he indicates that possibly other kings have also offended the devotees. He is saying that may there be auspiciousness for the kings. So we find here Prabhupada writes that he talks about being puffed up, the royal dynasty generally offend these great personalities, therefore Rahugan Maharaj began to offer his epical obeisances. generally Prabhupada writes about if a person offends a devotee, the Supreme Lord does not actually forgive, excuse that person. He gives example of Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasamuni. You just read the translation, the next verse. Next.
Srila Shukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King, O son of Mother Uttara, there were some ways of dissatisfaction in the mind of Jarabharat due to his being insulted by King Rahugan, who made him carry his palanquin. But Jarabharat neglected this, and his heart again became calm and quiet like an ocean. Although King Rahugan had insulted him, he was a great Paramahamsa. Being a Vaishnava, he was naturally very kind-hearted, and he therefore told the king about the constitutional position of the soul. He then forgot the insult because King Rahugan pitifully begged pardon at his feet, lotus feet. After this, he began to wander all over the earth just as before."
So here, Rahugan Maharaj is saying that the Shukadeva Goswami is saying that Jadabharat, he had some waves of dissatisfaction. Although Jadabharat is a highly exalted Paramahamsa, but still somebody speaks a harsh words, some dissatisfaction, it has an effect. So Prabhupada writes that due to the material body, Jadabharat's senses were certainly agitated when he was insulted by Rahugana. But because the king Rahugana submitted himself, Jadabharat excused him. He was definitely, there were some waves of dissatisfaction, but now Jadabharat, again his heart became calm and quiet like an ocean. Because Rahugana Maharaj immediately realized his mistake and begged forgiveness, and he actually took instruction from Jadabharat. And Jadabharat, being a naturally a kind-hearted devotee, he forgot all the insult. So Prabhupada talks about the symptoms of a saintly devotee. Titikshava Karunika Suhrada Sarvadehina. And then he explains that it is the duty of everyone desiring to return Godhead to become submissive like Rahugan and beg pardon of Vaishnavas when we have offended. Vaishnavas are generally called kind-hearted. Therefore, if one immediately submits himself at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, one is immediately cleared of offensive reactions. So generally, if you postpone when somebody commits a murder, when the punishment is given immediately, then he will not get further reaction later. That is why it said one is given immediate murder punishment like that. Similarly, so when a person has committed a mistake, if he immediately actually begs forgiveness for that mistake, then he will not suffer much. He will not suffer that much. But if a person postpones that, then one will have to suffer more. Just like suppose if a person cooks, after cooking in a pot, if he immediately wash it, it takes less effort. If we postpone it, if we just keep the pot just like that, then afterwards you have to put more effort. So like that. So remaining verses I'll just take tomorrow, and then I'll complete next chapter.